We are continuing in this involved series. Maybe I shouldn't even call it a series anymore, because it's just what comes up during the week as I'm thinking of, and like the guy said, ranting on pastors. No, I'm not ranting on pastors. May sound like it. I don't like them. I don't like what's going on out there. The people, the persons are nice people, usually. A lot of the Bible guys are getting to be real jerks. You know, and I'm sure that's just the influence of Dr. Ruckman. And I give him their respect by saying Dr. Ruckman, because he still knows his King James. He's still the man behind the tank when it comes to the King James Bible. But everything else, the Baptist aspect of it, and the offensiveness and his attack format is still wrong. And it's probably still even in me. It's probably still got that in me. But I don't want to have that sugary, sweet, huggy-wuggy, happy, fuzzy thing that pastors today have all over the country. I don't want that. So let's see if we can't just go forward here this morning. We finished up on some of the deceitful things that are being taught from the pulpits. We finished that last week. And this morning, let's go back where we always seem to go for this whole series, in Acts chapter 19. And I probably should put a title up at the top of this thing, so let's take time to do that in case anybody else drops in. Let's see here. Here we go. Magnificence of Religion. There we go. And that's our title for today. Magnificence of Religion. Whether we get it all done this morning, I just kind of zip through this thing. I don't think we all need to be necessarily reminded of those things, except it seems that when people, over time, it isn't because we make this choice, but just over time, we slowly worm our ways back, or the devil worms us back through his subtlety and deceptions and stuff, we end up maybe not even going back to a religion, but we end up creating a religion for ourselves. I mean, I believe without a shadow of a doubt that most of the mid-Acts guys are Paul guys that have learned that Paul is the guy to follow, but because they've left out so much of the truth when it comes to the walk and Timothy and Titus and doctrinal elements about sin itself, they just have glamored onto the word grace, and they just have grace. All things are lawful, period. No strings attached to the mid-Acts crowd. So they have a religion. They have a denomination. I remember when I've been around long enough to know that I existed before non-denominational thing, the hype of non-denominational. Yes, I'm that old. Bob, you are too. And if Jeanette was there, she would be too. We knew what it was like, and they broke away from the denominations, and they made these non-denominational chapels and houses of prayer, houses of worship and stuff like that. And they have turned in to a denomination. A non-denominational church is a denomination. And, in fact, if I hang on to Acts 19, let's go to I think it's 1 Corinthians, the first couple of verses. I think this is where Paul shows us where this whole denominational thing came. And he's talking here down in First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you. Well, he goes on and he talks about these divisions that have come about. And what are denominations? They're divisions. Are they divisions of the truth? No, they're not. One of the things I realized when I talked to the kids, the Renaissance era for music was when Martin Luther broke away from the church. I didn't say Catholic, I figured, let's not light any fires. I just said broke away from the church. And the church had the power that it told everybody what to do, and if you didn't do it and didn't believe their way, then they killed you. And the kids had never heard of this. Never heard of this. And I'm thinking, okay. Well, I said to the kids, this is history. Some people won't like it, but this is history. It's already been done. It used to be taught in the schools. It's no longer taught in the schools. So I kind of prelimed it with that kind of a thing. Then it said the guy that broke away from all that was Martin Luther and the Reformation. So we talked about that. And the music, the chorales. And out here, a corral is where you stick horses. I mean, there's no doubt about that. So I showed them how you spell it differently, and it's a different kind of music, four-part harmony, and et cetera, et cetera. But they had never heard of the Reformation or the whole thing with Martin. Some of these kids are Lutherans. And they're not taught this stuff. In the Dark Ages, you know, they call them the Middle Ages, if they call them anything at all. The medieval times. You know, I suppose that was when they just broke out of cavehood, you know. The evolutional cavehood, the medieval times, you know, when they had the knights in shining armor. No, this is when the Catholic Church ran everybody, and the music that they played was a Gregorian chant and the solemn, you know, that whole thing, the big choirs and the big churches they paid for, because people were paying to have their sins forgiven, and all this stuff I was teaching the kids, and they're eating it up, I think. The older kids especially, they never heard of this before. And so out of that comes the Lutheran Church. And I told the kids, to make a put a little humor thing, I said it to you, I think, before, that aren't you glad that they named the church after Martin Luther's last name? Because otherwise, you would be Martians. The Martian Church. And, ha, 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 you know, I figured, okay, some pastor's going to call me about that one, you know. But so far, nobody has. And like I said, the principal loved every second of it when I was talking about Beethoven going from classical to romantic. How he destroyed perfect, pure music. And how people identify with Beethoven, because we identify with his fate and his bad emotions and his craziness and his fears and his you know, kind of thing. So this Martin Luther, this Lutheranism that came out of that thing, all it was a form of Catholicism. I mean, Martin Luther still teaches that pastors can forgive their sins just like a priest can. And today's Lutherans, you know, no Bible as such, and we know the whole baptism is your salvation and the Lord's Supper is your receiving the Holy Spirit, you know, all this kind of stuff. It's just denominations. So I don't know how I got into that this morning, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I think is where Paul, where denominations got their start. So go with that what you may. Let's go back to Acts 19. Sometimes my bunny trails are so deep into the woods I forgot where I came out, where I went in at, you know. Oh, well. Okay. So let's go to Acts chapter 19. You know where we're going to go. We're going to go down to verse 28. Or, I'm sorry, chapter 19, verse 28. 21, actually. 21. And we're going to look at religion this morning. Just religion. Take your pick, which one. It doesn't matter. Like I say, the Paul guys who developed a religion out of it, we could even pull away from this stuff and come up with our own personal religion. And whatever it is, religion takes us away from the truth. Religious music, you know, religious, you know, sometimes people say, well, he believed such and such religiously. Well, that means you're serious, you know, and stick with it and all that. Well, I find that sometimes we want to stick with something that still is comfortable to us. And I'm realizing more and more that Paul's teachings, Paul's walk, really isn't ever all that comfortable. Unless you're by yourself, or unless you are, even if you're around a bunch of other Paul guys, somebody's going to have something going on in their life, on their walk, that you're going to go, I don't do that. I'm sorry. We can be very judgmental. The person is weak in his faith. That's all. Just hasn't learned enough yet. And we are just better off in our own little bubble, just like a kid that plays piano all of his life. Musicians live in a bubble. They go in that little practice room and they put that little plastic pretend fantasy bubble around themselves, around their piano or their instruments, and they just sit there and they practice and play. And when they sit down to the piano, we just do our thing for ourselves. And we want to give God the glory, etc. But really, in all reality, we're just able to sit down and knock everything out of the world, out of our lives, and just sit there and make music. And we do the same thing with truth. We grab onto the truth that we can grab onto comfortably, and the rest we figure, well, maybe tomorrow. But over time, that leaven leavens, and it just takes us down. And Romans 11:22, you know, when people are done with the goodness of God, then God's coming back. And I don't have any problem with the fact that that can't be much longer. So, anyway, so this Acts 19, this whole series is based on is the fact that in verse 27, you know, that we are to despise and to destroy the magnificence. So this morning I thought, well, you know, let's look at religion. What is it about religion that people want? I know so many people that have taken the Paul thing and got excited at first, or some people took it, didn't get excited, but they figured, well, it's the truth, you know, whatever. I still have to wear dresses, or I still have... No, that's not the point. It's about rightly dividing your Bible. And it's about reading from Genesis to Revelation and understanding all that takes place within there. The South Dakota legislature has made it okay to teach Bible in a public school. And so the principal talked to me about it. I could tell he didn't want me to do it. So I would love to teach that. I said, but you want to teach a controversial class. You want something to fire up the phone. You know, I said, I'll teach that thing from Genesis to Revelation, the way it's written, the purpose of it. But I said, you're going to get into different Bible versions. You're going to get into, I said, you're just looking for trouble. And really, they are. And we know that if Bible is taught in the public schools, you know without a fact it will not be King James and it will not be rightly divided. So, you know, we've got a Bible club in town here for kids that the school advertises and the school encourages and the whole thing, some youth thing. And you know it's a joke. It's not funny. It's just a mess. It's a lie, and it's a room full of deception. And I haven't taken it on yet. Well, I'm not in this town teaching. I'm in the other two towns. Someday, maybe somebody will ask me, hey, you want to come and speak at our youth group? We know that you're a Christian, used to be a pastor. Well, I'd be glad to. Anyway. I remember back in Tusha, I got to speak at a Bob. You remember that there's a camp north of town there quite a way, some Bible camp or something. And I got to go, they invited me there to preach. And I did, and I told them how their Bibles teach that Daniel didn't kill Goliath. Oh man, did that rock the ship? Never was asked back. In fact, the guy, the pastor for the kids, came screaming up in his car with this place I was having lunch. I came screaming up in his car, screeched in the parking driveway, came and said, "What are you talking about?" Blah 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 blah. And he didn't care. Anyway, I know how to make friends, don't I? I had my accordion, we had a good time singing, the kids understood it, but this guy is the one that came unglued. Okay, so let's look at religion. What is it about this religion that we all want, I guess? And it's the magnificence of, and let's go back and let's read this whole little story again here, back to 21. Let's go to 20. Yeah, we'll go to 21. So after these things were ended, they look it up there. We had these guys get together their books and their trinkets and stuff, and they burn all that stuff. Anyway, grew mightily the word of God and prevailed. Boy, isn't that a thought? Okay, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, "After I have been there, I must also see Rome." So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. He stuck around and did his job. What's that? Job of an evangelist. Remember that? Work of an evangelist. At the same time there arose no small stir about that way, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines for Diana. Okay, we're getting religious now. And if we want to look at Diana as Mary, it fits fine. You know, I can already tell we're not going to get done with this thing until tonight, part two already. It was Diana, but, you know, whatever. Brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, which means they brought great gain. Okay. Whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, "Sirs, we know that by this craft we have our wealth." Okay. So there's money in religion. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone in Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul, I like that, this Paul, I think I've talked about this before, so just put up with me, hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. Acts chapter 2. So that No, Acts chapter 19, 17 or 19. 17. The Mars Hill crowd. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath, and cried out, saying, Great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion. Now, let's look at this thing. We see some key phrases here. You know, by this craft we have our wealth. So he says that Paul. It says that Paul took people away from their religion. People despised the temple, you know, the place of it, and her magnificence should be destroyed. Well, that's her. That's Diana. That's the goddess. You know, Mary. And we could say, though, well, you're kind of stretching to say religion. No, I'm not, because every denomination that's out there is an offshoot or a breakaway, still containing some of the beliefs and teachings of Mary's religion. So you want to despise Mary, you're going to despise religion. You want to despise the temple, not say you want to destroy the magnificence of Mary, you're destroying the magnificence of religion. You want to despise the temple? All churches are based on a Catholic design of a church place, church building, a church gathering place. It's all part of the same thing. So yeah, you despise the temple. You're despising that church that you drive by. I despise that place. Well, where's your love? Yeah, I despise that place. And the magnificence of Mary's teachings, or the teachings of Mary, whatever cover they put it under or a title, I want to destroy that. And when you do, the people are going to react with wrath, and they're going to react with confusion. And when you tell people about this stuff with Paul and the rightly divided of a King James Bible, sure, these people get angry. But they're also confused. But they'll never tell you that. Well, how can you say that? Number one is, this is how they reacted to Paul, with confusion. So we know the truth is that when people hear this stuff about Paul only, rightly divided King James Bible only, they're full of confusion. They've never heard this before. So even if they accept it, they say, well, that's interesting, I have to go study that some more. They're left with confusion. And then their pastor comes along, or pastorette comes along and teaches them, well, that's all a bunch of baloney. Well, fine, but how do these guys come up with that? So when they read their scriptures, if they do, of the King James Bible, which I doubt they do, but if they do, they come up with the same questions. And we have come to the understanding that if somebody is not questioning their religion, or is not questioning what is being preached, or is not questioning this new music that's in their church, they're not questioning why do they have a lady pastor now, if they're not questioning this lovey-dovey stuff, if they don't think that there's anything wrong, well, we're not going to show them anything with Paul. They're just going to think you're nuts. But if they're questioning any of that stuff at all, they will say to you, yeah, I wonder why when we say that our sins are forgiven, why do we have to confess sins, according to 1 John 1:9? Why do we have to do that? People have to ask themselves, do they? They have to ask themselves that once in a while. Or they have to ask themselves, what is this rightly, what does it mean, rightly divided? Or what about these different Bibles? I mean, they do say different things. How can that be? Well, you know, over time, leaven convinces them that everything's fine, no big deal. But there's still some confusion in there. And showing somebody the simplicity of a rightly divided Bible, Paul's books only, and even rightly divide those things, you know, in Corinthians, based on the King James Bible of 1611, and show them this stuff, they start seeing something, and they get excited. But if you get that guy away from that religion, everybody else will be mad. And the persons that don't go away from their religion, they get, how can you say that? Because it says right here, here is our example, or our ensample, of what happens when you pull people away from their religion and despise the temple and destroy the magnificence. Here's our we just find a way. So if that happened there, it's going to happen today. And it does. We've all been in this long enough to know that even the Paul guys get mad. Well, it's the Paul women that get mad, because they're the ones that are working. They're the ones that are immodest. They're the ones that are running the ship. They're the ones that are running their home. They're the ones that are causing all this, and that's why it makes them mad. That's Acts 13, the honorable and devout. What is it, honorable and devout? I think it is. Honorable and devout women. Hear about it. Devout and honorable women, and they kick Paul out. So that's where the battle comes from. Okay, so while we're looking at this thing, let's go to Revelation chapter 17 for a minute, just to kind of verify that we are not just spouting off our rant, you know, what it sounds like, but Revelation 17, verses 1, and we won't go into a detail here at all, but it says, "And they came out of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have made drunk with the wine of her fornication." This is why I'm saying, Paul got these people to despise Diana. We are despising today Mary, which is the crux of the Catholic Church, even in Revelation 2 and 3. The whole world is following this religion. Even if they've broken away, the Lutherans, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, the Baptists, the whole crowd have broken away from the Mary worship, and in some form or another, they still do it to this day. I've got a track. I don't know if it's even online anymore. Probably isn't. The Holy Roman Baptist Church is what I called it. The similarities to what the Baptists are teaching and doing as the Catholic. And it's no different. It's no different. So we see here that the whole world had fallen for this thing. Look at Revelation 18. Revelation 18, verse 3. "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich." There's Demetrius making the money off of this stuff. "Through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." How can that happen? Well, my two cents are, you know what these Bibles are? Where's the Word of God? It's in heaven. What's that verse called? Settled in heaven? And these guys, this Catholic Church thing, has reached up into heaven and taken the very Word of God and changed it. And verse 7, "How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and shall see no sorrow, no widow, and shall see no sorrow." And so it says here in verse 8, "Her place come in one day." We see in verse 19, "In one hour is she made desolate." So we're looking at religion. Pure and simple. And whether or not it's a Paul religion or a Baptist religion or a Presbyterian, everybody's gone back to the Catholic ship. Everybody's gone back to the whore. Now, the Baptists, who at one time were never part of the ship, are you sure about that? That's what they say. But if you go back and you study the persecutions and the martyrs and stuff, most of those guys were killed because they taught baptism doesn't save you, but it still needs to be done. So these people were killed because they were caught being baptized. Well, what is this water baptism? It's a Catholic teaching, whether it become before, during, or after salvation. Water baptism is not taught by Paul. It just is not. It's a spiritual baptism. So if you want to stay hidden away from the church back in the Middle Ages, then you kind of got a hold of these Paulicians people, and you realize, well, if you go out and do a public baptism because you're so brave and strong, you're going to get killed. That's just the way it's going to be. And how many people died for the Lutherans? They still believe that your baptism is what makes you a child of God. And then the communion you take is how you receive the Holy Spirit. Been there. And so if they make that public, which they had to do, you know, the persecution began. What do we have today? We got the Baptists out there today making these big gatherings at the river. you know, and the town kind of gets upset, or the town loves it, or whatever. Come on, what do you do if there's a drought and there is no river? What do you do if it's January 15th, like right now this morning? Let's have a baptismal service down at the river. The temperature, ooh, wow, it's a hot 21. It was 4 last night. What do you do? Well, you go to a swimming pool, indoor swimming pool. Is that a public profession? In a church service, that's not a public profession. You know, this whole thing. It's just religion. Okay. Well, let's look at some things that make religion magnificent. Okay. Oh, by the way, let's go to Galatians chapter 1. It's interesting because I kind of tried to put 2 and 2 together, try to make it equal 4 because I think it's supposed to. Last night I do. But if you look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 13, yeah, we are not going to get done until tonight. If even then. My things last so long. If we look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 13. For ye have heard of my conversation, this is Paul talking to these law people, you know, for you've heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion. Oh, really? Look at verse 14, and profited in the Jews' religion. Paul calls that what the Jews believe is it's a religion. Well, look at what's being taught today, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is Old Testament, which is the law being fulfilled by Christ, and if you want to follow him, you follow him with what he does, and so then you are not going to, you know, disobey the law, but it finds out that everybody does except him. And they all forsake him at the very end, even his buddies, his official buddies, the clean dozen, or you want to call it that or whatever. And it's they're still teaching it today. The Baptists still teach it. That's where we go for our walk, the law. Well, that's, you know, that is, that's a religion. And most of our denominations, and not all of them, get all their teachings from the Gospels. Oh, but wait, they do go to the Hebrews to Jude for the guilt and the fear that if you don't follow what Jesus teaches in the Gospels, God's going to get you based on Peter's teachings, or James, or John, or whatever, Jude. Well, we know that's not true. What do they have? They have a religion. So the Paul guys, I'll say it one more time for the Paul guys that listen to this thing. If you still reject or don't pay attention to Timothy and Titus's teachings, Paul's teachings in Timothy and Titus, you got a religion. It's still based on Paul, but it's still a religion. Now, let's look at the magnificence of this religion. Again, whether it be based on Paul or Mary or Martin or John Knox, I think that was his name, or whatever. It's a religion. And the first one that would probably is all we're going to get this morning is it makes money. Religion makes money. It just does. So where are we going to find? We got to go to Timothy. We got to go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Remember Demetrius said, listen, you guys, he got all these guys together that were making the same stuff for their local bookstores and the trinkets and their crosses and their poems and their pictures with a kitty cat, and on it says some psalm, you know, in my house I will serve the Lord, kind of a plaque you got in your house, and yet when people come over, you know, you don't. I know there's a little old lady, I haven't heard from her in a long time, I hope she's still alive, in Kentucky I think it is, somewhere out there, I always forget where she's from. When her grandkids come over, they know that they don't do certain things and that she follows Paul's teachings. That's where she's at. And she says, in my house, this is what we're going to do. You come dressed, you come da-da-da-da. So that's a gutsy grandma. Some of us have made those kind of claims, have lost the family. They don't talk to you anymore or whatever. So what is so magnificent about this religion that people, well, it makes money. Very simple. Haven't you ever received something? I've lost our visitor out there. Haven't you ever received any books or CDs, you know, pencils, the whole spiel. There's money into this thing. I haven't been in a Christian, quote unquote, bookstore in a long time. And I go into those things, I hate them. I hate Christian bookstores more than I hate gay bars, as they would call them, gay bars, yeah, right, perverted bars. Alcohol, any of that stuff. That's world stuff. That's to be expected. But this Christian stuff just bugs me. You go into there and you got to ask them, where's your King James Bibles? And you know that these King James Bibles have things in the back that say, here are 500 archaic words in the King James Bible. Well, what are you giving that Bible to people for? You got Bibles in there, King James Bibles, that have notes down the middle that tell you what, you know, the Greek says. Why? We don't need that. You got a King James Bible that has footnotes in it. Well, the footnotes based on who? Who are these study Bibles? What do they know? They don't rightly divide. Even Scofield has got baptism in there as a sacrament in his footnotes. Go into a bookstore and ask them for a King James Bible that has no footnotes, no studies at the beginning, at the end, no history, no marginal markings, no nothing, just text. And you won't find one. We must be getting close to that famine that's talked about in Amos chapter 8. Famine of what? Hearing the word of God. The words of, how's it going? I got to quote it correctly. Famine. There we go. Find it here real quickly. Here. Where it says here, but hearing the words of the Lord, they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. That doesn't necessarily mean that the King James Bible will not be available. It's just that nobody's going to be talking about it. And to find one, that's going to be hard. But man, we're almost there. We can still get them from the local church publishers and different places out there. But we better, you know, pretty tough stuff. And then, like I said, it's a fair booth. When I gave Bibles to people, I realized, wait a minute, these people don't even know how to read this thing. If they choose to, they're going to start with Matthew like everybody else. So we started to try to tweet people rightly divide the thing. Anyway, makes money. So if we look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, so if religion is all about making money, those Bible versions that are out there in these bookstores, they got started because they make money. In fact, the law is, in order to have a copy, in order to call your Bible the Bible, it has to be so many percent of words have to be changed. So they got to change them anyway. So they change them. Now they can make money. They can copyright it. Why do they want to copyright this thing? To make money. I heard a long time ago that when the NIV first came out, pastors were paid by the Nelson publishers and the Zondervan pornographic publishers as well. The pastors were paid if their church switched over to an NIV. There's money involved. There is. Okay. If that's the case, we realize that in verse 9 of 1 Timothy chapter 6, because of this desire for money, and religion is nothing but making money, people are going to fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts in verse 9. Men are going to drown in destruction and perdition. Well, how can he say that? Because this love of money that this religion is all about, it's the root of all evil. So there's people coveting this religion because of money. They covet the money because of religion. It's a two-way street there. And because of that, they err from the faith. And they pierce themselves through with many sorrows. That's what religion does to people. It causes them to err from the faith. It causes them to pierce themselves through, pierce themselves. I mean, they do it themselves with many sorrows. And just look at how we think our sorrows and the piercings we have done to ourselves can be solved with money. In some cases, it really can be. I still wish somebody would will to this ministry, when they die, a big chunk of money to keep this thing going. This cannot go much longer the way things are going. Economically and politically? Oh. Anyway, don't even go there. But religion causes people to err from the faith, and the reason that is because it's all about money. It's all about making money. Well, is that why people leave this stuff? It can turn into, no, that's not necessarily, but it's fun. It's enjoyable to have all that stuff. You get down to your Baptist church service, we all went into the bookstores. What have they got new now? Well, here's a great book by, Dobson. Or, I can't remember many. I don't even know who the new guys are these days. I think everybody just writes a book. I should write a book about music. Yeah, that'll go over really well. Right. Right. So we got a book about music. It's called the King James Bible. That's all we need. Look at my CDs. I mean, I've got somebody, I get letters, all the emails quite often about people that are using my music off the internet in their church services. My music is played across the world in different churches, and that's exciting for me. But you know, if I were to pull those things off the internet and just advertise, you know, 25 CDs, the old-fashioned hymns played the old-fashioned way, 25 CDs, you know how much that would cost? Oh, wait a minute. I've got to get copyright permission on each one of those songs, and I'd have to pay a certain couple pennies every time I'd sell a set to somebody that wrote the music or whatever. It's like, oh, man, what a headache. But if I got a publishing outfit to do it, and if I got people, I got a staff and a secretary and the whole spiel, I could make a lot of money off of my CDs. I got tons of CDs. I got classical CD out there. I've got that. I don't want to do that. People used to send money. I would send them. They get this stuff off the internet. They would send money to donate. They don't do that anymore. But we're not a church either. We're some old guy in this house, you know, yakking about this stuff. But they sure do like the music. There's a money maker right there. Maybe when I die, Mark, here you go. Maybe when I die, you can put all my sermons into a sermon pack. You can put all my music into a music pack. And you can sell those things and make you, there you go. There's a way to make your big bucks. And you can come to my tombstone and say, oh, if you'd only done this, you would never have worried about money. Well, that's a religion. I think I've said it before, that the music world, the Christian music world, what do they call it, CCM, Contemporary Christian Music, they have their own statement of faith. They are a denomination. The musicians, the music world, they are their own religion. Anyway, and why? What are the musicians? They make money. These guys that come to the, oh, I tell you, these preachers that come to the conferences, and then they're also singers, or their families are singers, or their kids play harp or something. I mean, what do they put on the back table? Well, they got a couple of boxes, a couple of packages of sermons or something, but I guarantee you in that back table, somebody's singing something. And what do people buy? They buy the CDs of the people singing. The Rochester family, the Armstrong family, the Lundgren family, the Marshall family. You know, you just go down it. And these people made money off of their singing, not their preaching. They're singing. And I've preached against that since I first met the Marshalls, and they even know it, and they agreed. And then finally it got to be where Mr. Marshall said, we're not going to go to anybody's church unless I'm allowed to preach. We'll sing, but I get to preach. So give him credit for that. That was good. I suppose it was his wife's idea, though. I know them and know her quite well. What else is magnificent about religion? The money it makes. And creates jobs and the whole spiel. You know, that's all there. If you don't know what to do, you lost your job, you lost your health, what can you do? You can find a church someplace that you can go be hired for something. You know, you can be the nursery ministerette. You can be in charge of parking. You can be the minister of the yard. I mean, you can, you know, it's amazing. And there's money involved in it all the time. What else is really neat about what is magnificent? So we destroy that when we destroy this religion. Let's look at another one here. Another reason that religion needs to be, the magnificence of religion needs to be destroyed here. Well, it passes on teachings to the kids. So, what's so wrong with that? That's a magnificent thought, isn't it? Sure, you go to church, your kid goes this direction, your wife goes this direction, you go this direction, and you don't even know what your kids are being taught. You don't know what your wife's being taught by the pastor's wife, and the wife doesn't know what you're being taught as the husband, and the kids don't know what mom and dad are being taught, and mom and dad don't know what the kids are being taught. So these false teachings, if a person hangs around in this religion, they're passed on to their kids. And we've got to add one word into this thing, because that's the magnificence of it. They don't believe this, but we know it passes on false teachings. And if you grew up in this church, well, then your kids are going to grow up in this church. It just passes on. It's just a continual passing on of false teachings. What's so magnificent about that? Nothing. You destroy that, they'll get mad at you. The wrath But to them, it's a fantastic thing. The husband doesn't have to do any Bible study. His pastor does it for him. The wife, she can go off and learn how to put up with such a jerk of a husband because the pastor's wife is putting up with her husband, who's a jerk. And the children, well, they go off there. They don't enjoy teaching because they get enough of it during the school week. So they play them videos and games, and they have pizza parties, and they talk about sex and stuff, you know, for the older kids, and they get their instruction there from the youth pastor, you know. It's just they love it. Especially the guy loves it because he doesn't even have to pray with his family, because we go to, you know, you ever, and I've been there. I've been there with this stuff. When the pastor says he'll stop and say, okay, let's see, who should pray for the service this morning? And all the men freeze up. Oh, gosh, don't call on me. Don't call on me. And you don't move a muscle. You know, it's one of those things that if you move, the pastor will see you and he'll call on you. But if you don't move, the pastor will see that you haven't moved an ounce, an inch or whatever, you haven't breathed, and he'll recognize that too. It's a losing proposition either way when the pastor says, let's see, who should pray for the service this morning? Or you just had a fight with your family on the way to church, and you walk into church and you put on that happy face. And you're ticked off on the inside, something fierce. Okay, Bill, would you pray? And then you put on this really nice, oh God, pray for the unction of the Holy Spirit to come upon our pastor, that he teaches us the truth today. Oh, barf. You know? So the dad doesn't have to worry about that. The pastor's going to run the ship. And the mother doesn't have to worry about what we're going to do with the kids, because the church on Friday night has an activity, and on Saturday has an activity, and on Sunday afternoon there's football, so that covers that. And then Monday night we have kids' Bible study, and we're going to show a movie on these vegetables that talk. And on Tuesday night we have, and on Wednesday night, you know, we have a prayer service, so we don't have to worry about being preached at. So we all get down on our hands and knees, and we hope that nobody hears us pray, but we pray for some names, you know, da 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 da. You know what this is? This all gets passed on to our kids, because they just go and do the same thing. Now, either the kids wise up and leave the whole thing. Unfortunately, when they leave religion, they leave God, so they don't want to hear about it ever again. I don't blame them. Or they stay with it, and they wear the ties, and they go to their preacher school, and they pass on this religion to somebody else. That's just what this is all about. Making money and passing it on to somebody else. And that's why Paul says that these guys wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It just goes right on. And then let's add the third thing. What else is so great about this religion that people want to go back to? Well, it's fun. It feels fabulous to the flesh. I just got this quick little paragraph here. It's positive preaching. It's peace preaching. It's powerful preaching for those that want to hear some good Bible study. You know, a guy yells at you and criticizes you and beats on you, and you go, oh, that was good. Oh, that felt good. Go ahead, park there, brother, because it feels so good. And you walk out the door, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. It pumps up your person. It pats you on the back. It puts the world in your lap. It prohibits the truth. It prevents you from seeing. It puts you in hell and your loving family. And it puts forth a false worship. But it feels so good. It just feels fantastic. So those three things right there. We'll do some more tonight. What is so magnificent about religion? It makes money. And it passes on teachings that I don't have to do as a father. And it's fun, and it feels good. Those are the three things. We got more things tonight. I'll try to get them all. I just yak too long here. I just go over this stuff. It takes too long. You know, this Bible is a fantastic thing. This Bible exposes everything, and it exposes us. Aren't you glad? I think Garlic Dizon down in the Philippines sent me an email. I got it right back to him. And he's just been looking at the world, looking at people. And we're just going around like little mice, the rat racing, just doing this for that, doing money and ignoring this. And he has really great observation that he's picking up. You know, is it no wonder Christ didn't just get us to stop from sinning? He just took care of sin. And he tells us, listen, here's some things I'd like to have you do to please me. But as far as this stop from sinning, I know you can't. Because it's just in you still. He separates us from that flesh. How important this stuff is to learn. He separates us from the flesh. And he fulfilled the walk. And so his walk, his sinless walk, is imputed charge to us because he knows we can't. And the few things that we want to do that we can do right, he'll reward us for at the judgment seat. Everything else, he burns up. Doesn't even hold us accountable for it. Just burns it up and changes us to be like him and go be with him. And religion doesn't teach that at all. Zero zilch. So be happy with what you're learning and let's try to do the right thing. And we realize, Acts chapter 2, that the Spirit of God has to be put on their flesh during the tribulation for them to do the right thing. And we don't have that. We don't have the Spirit of God upon our flesh. We have the Spirit of God in us. And our person, our self, our soul has been made clean. Our walk, we can try. And we need to keep trying. He says it's the reasonable service to make our bodies a living sacrifice. Meaning, you know, let's not do something our body wants to do. And it's a sacrifice. That's the least thing we can do. And are we to sacrifice them today? Hardly at all. Our flesh is still pleased. So let's not turn this Paul stuff that we have here in this website. Let's not make it into a religion. Let's just send me all your money, be here for your sermons, and then go do your own thing and stay with God and the Bible. like this website. What's the purpose of this website? To make money? Oh, yeah, you got it. I'm filthy rich because of this website. My music is making me big bucks. Have we passed on any false teachings? Not at all. Is it fun and fabulous to our flesh? No. But you're still there. And we'll see you tonight. You flesh haters, you. Good night. We'll talk to you tonight. Nice to have you there. Still nice to have people that are looking for the truth. Good night, folks. Or good morning, folks. Goodbye, folks. Whatever.